Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, have you ever met someone that everyone tells you you should be meeting? Like, you should talk to this guy. You guys would get along. Well, I heard that from a few people. In fact, big shout out to David Hancock. He's the one who connected us together. But Nick Hutchinson, how you doing today?
I am excited to be here. Can I ask you the first question today?
Go for it, man.
All right. We just wrapped up 2023. We're recording this at the beginning of 2024. So I'm curious, what was the best book that you read last year? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Oh my gosh. All right. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to bring up my Audible because this is my brain. This is my brain. I do listen to them and then I like keep moving on to the next one. So listen, I'm going to just jump in with one that popped out to me. It's Elon Musk, the big one, the 20-hour audiobook.
I listened to that as well.
You know, and I'll tell you why. Two things. One, no one would understand on the planet why he would buy Twitter unless you read that book. Because you read that book, you're like, wait, this dude's so driven. He's so entrepreneurial. Why is he getting distracted with a shiny object called Twitter? And yet, when you read the book, you realize his big mission is to get people on Mars. And then he believes that we won't have a society to get on Mars unless we have free speech. And therefore, Twitter plays a role. Like, that's it, man.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to that book as well. A few months ago, I took a trip from Boston up to Toronto, Canada, and back. And I drove and I listened to it halfway on the way there and halfway on the way back. And I'm fascinated by iconic entrepreneurial stories. I mean, it's fun to hear about Elon reading in the library until they kick him out when he's a little kid and just tunnel vision into the book, but also decisions like SpaceX, Twitter, and Tesla, and Solar City, and like the making of all of it, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's super cool. And I mean, that's even why I like this podcast, is the eMind, how to think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. I feel like, Nick, people will read that book and some people will be like, oh my gosh, Elon, he's so huge as an entrepreneur, you know, I can't even play. And yet I look at you and your journey and I'm like, wow, you're using the same traits. Of course, I read that book by Elon Musk and I just have to do a gut check and be like, okay, God did not put me on the planet to do as much as Elon, but I need to play a bigger game. I don't know if you felt that way, Nick, but I felt that way, like in a good way. Like, why am I playing small? I need to go bigger.
Yes. I mean, I even have a dream big shirt on today. That's how much I believe in this message. Just like you, I'm not discouraged when I hear about people like Elon. I mean, I heard this math the other day that almost discouraged me. It said at the time of this recording, when somebody made the video, Elon had a net worth of $180 billion. And so here was the surprising math. The person making the video said, if I was to give you $100,000 every single day, how long would it take you to have $180 billion? And the answer was like 5,500 years. And wow. So for perspective, if I was to start in 3000 BC when the pyramids are being built and give you $100,000 every single day, up until the present moment, you still wouldn't be as rich as Elon. And that was like,
wow.
But for me, there are certain things that you can learn about the big thinking, such as leverage. I mean, Elon runs multiple billion-dollar companies, yet he leverages the same 24 hours we all do. So what's the difference?
That's right.
It's risk tolerance. It's team building. It's vision. So I'm inspired by all of it.
And last thing, and then we definitely got to get on yours. But the other thing that I read about that book is like, as much good and impact as he has, he's also had to deal with a crud of like drama and chaos that he might even create himself sometimes. So at the end of the day, it's like peace. What is the cost of peace? You know, and I'm not saying like, oh, he's a tormented soul, but like at the end of the day, yeah, like we all can get this thing on Instagram where we're like, oh man, Nick's crushing it, you know, like Carrie's whatever. And then you look at it, dang, they gotta deal with stuff. And let's talk about that. Well, you have 10 people, I think, in your company. Yeah. That creates 10x problems. It could. How do you go from zero to 10 employees or teams?
Yeah, for me, it's been slow and steady. It was never part of my original vision. You know, I started reading books when I was 20 years old, which for me was 10 years ago. And I just started sharing the books that I was reading on social media because I wanted to connect with like-minded people. I mean, that was really it. I was reading and applying books to my sales role at the time as a recent college graduate and experiencing some success and giving the credit to these books. But my friends and family didn't want to hear it. So that's why I went to social media. And as the community that I was building started to grow, authors started to reach out to me and offer to pay for book reviews. And, so it all happened for me by accident. And how do you go from zero to 10? Slow and steady. You know, you provide more and more value. You find ways to help people, you know, in my case, promote and market their books. And you add team members over time to take on certain responsibilities. And it's all just happened organically.
You know, some wise people have told me over the years that you can actually grow too quick. And when you grow too quick, I mean, we can share horror stories of companies, but usually you got to cut corners somewhere, either your health, your family, integrity. So I like this whole slow, steady. I feel like I'm in the same camp as you, like slow and steady. But you crossed this threshold back in November where you went from reviewer to author. How was that, man? Like, to go and be like, hey, I'm going to go on the other side and write a book.
It was so much harder than I initially thought it was going to be. I thought because I had read hundreds of personal development and self-help and nonfiction business style books that I could write one. And I thought because I had worked with so many authors, I mean, hundreds of authors to help them promote and market their books, that it would be easy. And I thought because I was a disciplined person, as far as my health and relationships and business go, that I could just sit down for 30 to 60 minutes a day and knock this thing out in a couple of months. And for me, it just didn't happen that way. It was so much harder.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, whenever I'm writing a book, I'm like, literally, I hate my life.
Like, the same way.
Oh my gosh. But you know, I got a book here, you know, that I wrote, and like, these things are eternal, man. Like, you know, I teach now at the university and there'll be a student who comes in and shares a problem. And I'm like, hang on, hold on one second. I'm going to gift you this book because this is exactly what you're struggling with. Like, you get this too, Nick. I know you do, because you're super successful. You get people who say, dear Nick, you don't know me, but I'd love to be able to pick your brain. You know, and usually they're not going to pay you. Usually they don't even know what they want. And so it's not helpful. You realize soon it's not helpful to say, yeah, you can pick my brain, because it's not good for them or you. They don't know what they want. But when you can hand them a book, because that is your best thinking, the rise of the reader is like your best thinking that took you so many hours to do. And when you can hand somebody that, who's really serious, who doesn't want to just pick your brain, but actually wants to get action. How cool is that?
You'll love this analogy because it's perfectly aligned with what you're talking about. I had somebody tell me recently, my friend Kevin, he said, I would rather read somebody's book than spend a half a day with them getting personal coaching. And I thought, why? What do you mean? Wow. You'd rather read Elon Musk by Walter Isaacson then spend a half a day with Elon? Is that what you're trying to say? I mean, that's a biography, so maybe bad example.
But I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah. And here is his thinking. He said, it takes decades to learn something, years to write about it, and you have to spend so much time working your message in a way that it's simple and digestible. It is your best thinking. It's totally refined. But a sporadic conversation with that person for a few hours, you're going to get all sorts of useless information added in with the value, whereas the book is just the best stuff. Yeah.
Dude, that is a good, oh my gosh, that's good. I've heard, and somebody said this, I don't know who, otherwise I give them credit, but they did say nonfiction books are like the densest form of information you can consume. Like a podcast is great. We're having a great chat and there you are dropping awesome things like you just said. But when you pick up a nonfiction book, you're right. Like so much thinking had to go into that.
Yeah.
And YouTube videos have fluff and other things have fluff, but like you have to get to the point if it's a well-written book. And let's even talk about that. You know, I just had somebody message me the other day that said AI's, you know, Amazon's asking me if my book's written by AI. And I'm like, well, is it, you know, because the guy asked me and he said, what should he say? And I'm like, well, is it a, and here's what I told the guy. I said, your book should not be AI. I said, look, AI is a tool. If you want to go like, you know, down a rabbit trail or have it do a little bit of research, but people will not buy a book if it's already available as information on the internet. Like, why would they? There's no story. I agree. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree entirely. In fact, ChatGPT became as popular as it is in the months prior to my book launch. And what I did was I had finished my book. It had gone through developmental editing and proofreading and everything else. And then I ran a few paragraphs through ChatGPT and I said, can you improve this? You know, I played around with a bunch of different prompts.
Interesting.
And it came back with beautiful work, but it wasn't me. It lost the authentic touch. I speak in a certain way. I articulate in a certain way. I communicate in a certain way. And I want people that read Rise of the Reader to feel as if they're in the room with me, getting my best lessons, not what ChatGPT can do to improve my messaging, but I want it to be my messaging. So I'm with you 100%.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. So I love the fact that you said I didn't go out to seek doing this business. I went out and saw how I could add value. Then I started to get pursued by other people. I want to show people your website, man, because let's just be honest. Like you got a who's who, man, of people that some of these people, they will recognize them. Other people, they'll know their name. Let's show a little bit of the website here. So if I scroll down, man, like some of these dudes, Brian Tracy, Hal Elrod, Michael Gerber, you know, E-Myth, like there's some pretty nutty stuff here. And I don't know, I was on one of your other pages too, and I'm like, wow.
Probably on our podcast page. Yeah, if you go up to there's good
Grant
old
Cardone.
Yeah. Where if you go to Four Readers and then you highlight over the podcast, author podcast, yeah. A lot of these people that are popping up, including your boy Peter Diamandis.
Oh, yeah.
Hormozy and all
Who's
these.
Who's this guy? I've heard him speak. I like
Patrick Bet David. Yep.
That's good, PBD. Man. He's solid. Good. Yeah, Lewis Howes, of course. You got Grant Cardone's wife. What's her name again?
Elena,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Is that
Pressfield?
Shut up. Wow. Ryan Holiday. Dude.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nutty. How did this all happen?
Well, you know, I'm posting on social media and I'm reviewing books and all of a sudden there's an audience and all of a sudden my favorite authors are reposting my book reviews. And I decided to start hosting a podcast because these authors were accessible. Wow. They were following the account. They were commenting on my reviews and I had follow-up questions. I wanted to pick their brains and see what else they had to say about these books. I had questions and I figured, you know what? My audience probably does too. And maybe I could crowdsource some questions and maybe I could get them involved. I could film my Q&A with them and post it as a podcast. And so, yeah, I've been connected to so many of my favorite authors and had such wonderful, I would almost say private mentoring sessions, but then we repurpose it as a as content. And it's so cool. So cool.
Well, listen, I know what you're saying because, you know, over the years, I want to show you one quick pic here. There was one interview in particular where I was like, oh my gosh, I get to interview Stephen Kotler because I'm a big fan of flow, you know? Mm-hmm. And same thing, man. You know, you just work hard enough, long enough, provide enough value. And then I think you earn the right for these people to be like, oh, this guy doesn't just want to take, he wants to give. And I think whenever I say your name anywhere, it's like, oh man, that dude's a giver and that dude's given value and stuff. So I know you also do some video as well. Why don't you kind of say what like Book Thinkers does?
Sure. So again, an author started reaching out and offering to pay for book reviews. And I thought, oh, wow, there might be a little business here. So it started as a side hustle way back when. And today, as you mentioned, we've got 10 people on our team. We work with about 150 authors a year. And there's three core services that Book Thinkers provides, all on the book marketing front. We do short form video production where we fly out with the cameras and the lighting, and we help authors turn their books into valuable social media content, lead generation, platform building. Number two, we're doing podcast booking. So placing authors on shows to talk about their books, always in front of their target audience. And then number three, on social media, we have hundreds of thousands of followers across our different platforms. And so we're interviewing the authors, we're posting about their books in front of our audience, and all of those three things provide value in different ways, but that's what the business does. And that's what
I
love to do.
I love it. Yeah. Well, and you like books, I like books. And you had me on your podcast, which was really kind. And, you know, I mentioned a little bit about your book's IP, you know, we talked about Easy IP and you're like, dude, I'm in. And that was the fastest sale we ever had, even though I was going to give it to you for free. You're like, no,
while I paid for it.
Yeah. You already paid for it before I could give it to you. But the point is that, like, how much do you realize that your book is intellectual property? And then to realize that according to the S&P 500 today, between 90 and 96% of the most valuable businesses on the planet, 90 to 96% is intangible, meaning IP. Like, you're creating IP. How cool is that?
It is really cool. And I think that, your platform is a way to cement that, you know, make it indisputable, like get it out there and make sure that people know it's protected. So I think it's really cool. I've got to redo my back cover now and get the little QR code added on.
Yeah, you do. Well, your book's fantastic. And, what are people going to get? Like, The Rise of the Reader, Strategies for Mastering Your Reading Habits. I meet people all the time who are like, oh my gosh, I got 8 books on my bookshelf or by my nightstand, or, you know, everyone knows they're supposed to read. In fact, there's a, there's almost like a, what do you call it? A curse of throwing a book away. Like, I've Googled this before, by the way. Like, there's this in across cultures, you're like, you're not supposed to destroy a book. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
So what do we do to leverage and capitalize on books?
Well, the reason I decided to write this was because over the years of building my community, I had hundreds and hundreds of people ask me very similar questions. They'd say, hey, Nick, how do I choose the right book to solve this problem? Or how do you choose your books? How do I take great notes? How do I retain more from the books I'm reading? How do I implement more? And just like you were talking about, you know, I always envision being able to hand them the answer. Yeah. I mean, if somebody says, what's a good book for entrepreneurship? I have 1,000 responses, but how do I retain and implement? I didn't have any. So that's why I decided to write it. So this book includes all of my favorite tips and tricks and strategies for getting more from the other books we read, because these books condense decades of somebody else's greatest life lessons into days of reading. Right? So it's only by implementing information that things change for us.
That's powerful, man. So we live in an oversaturation of information. And so it's not just, you know, it sounds crazy, but there was a book a few years ago that I think it's called How to Read a Book. Have you ever heard of this?
I have. I own a copy, but I haven't read it yet.
I have not read it. Is that funny? How to Read a Book. Is. You have it and you've never read it.
Somebody gifted it to me.
I've never read it. But look, this was written back before I was even born. So I feel like your book is almost like the right version for today.
Yeah, it's updated and it's specifically for personal development style material.
Mm, That's,
you know, business, talk about business, that. Personal development, self-help, philosophy, psychology. I'm talking books that you can read and use to improve your life. I mean, over the last 10 years, I've read hundreds of books on health and fitness, nutrition, personal finance, investing, entrepreneurship, business, growth, scalability, happiness, meditation, mindfulness. All of these things have resulted in how I define my purpose today, which is to enjoy the passage of time. Like you mentioned with the Elon thing, to kind of bring this full circle, I wouldn't enjoy that lifestyle. I don't want to run $3 or $4 billion companies because that's not how, like, I want to enjoy my time.
Yeah.
After everything I've read, if you can be healthy, wealthy, and happy in a sustainable way, then you don't have to sacrifice,
yeah,
you know, your health for money or your relationships for your health. Like, you can find a good balance of all three. And I did that, and I'm doing that, and it's sustainable, and I like it. And it's because of the books. It's not because of me. Other people have figured out how to do it, and I'm just implementing what I've learned.
Wow. A couple more questions here. So besides the fact that everyone should absolutely get this book, and I'm glad that you put it out in audio too, right? Did you put it out in audio?
I did, yes. So if you don't hate my voice, it's available via audio.
Why, you know, listen, man, whenever I put a book out, you know, those four, you bet. Why did you put it out on audio too?
I put it out on audio because I know, even though I don't think that audio is the best way to learn, I know a lot of people listen first out of convenience in the car while they're working out, whatever the case is. And sometimes they'll go back and get the paper book after. So I just know that audio is a growing segment of the market, and I wanted to make sure that it was available in whatever format people preferred.
Listen, man, I commute to the university to teach. I cycle, you know, and audiobooks are my escape. And I'll tell you what I do, a little trick. I don't know if you know about this, but I'll be, you know, I'll have the audiobook, and then what I'll do is I'll actually hit notes, okay? And when I hit notes, I basically just talk. And I don't know if you know this, but
I do the same thing.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
So
I'll show you.
Yeah, yeah. So I can literally talk out, folks, right now. See this? And it's recording. So the cool thing is it interrupts your audiobook so you don't lose it. And then you talk out your audiobook note. And you name your note by your audiobook. And you're right, Nick. I have, look at this. Boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom.
Look at 10X is easier than 2X is a book I listened to recently. And yeah,
I love it. But I'll tell you what that does. I mean, you talk about just the other day. Okay, quick story. We'll be quick here. But quick story. I'm hiring this foreign team to build an app for me for EZIP. And they're like, do you want a mobile app, a native app, or a web app? And I'm like, you know, like, I don't know. and they say, well, listen, if you do this, this, or this, like, it's going to have these effects and price tag and time. And so I said, I'll tell you what, give me the weekend. I'm going to do my own research. And literally I cycled and listened to like audiobooks and other content. And I walked away from that weekend after those notes. Dude, I knew, I'm not saying I knew more than them, but they're like, oh my gosh, you have such clarity. That's how you do it, man, right?
Yeah, I think you mentioned when you brought up my website, Brian Tracy, one of my favorite lessons from interviewing Brian is that once you've read two or three books on a subject, you know more than 95% of the world. I mean, you really do.
Truth, man. I heard him say that. That's so, it's true. It's true. So, I mean, that's how you get this fast expertise. And yeah, do you need life lessons for it? Sure. But like, you can have conversations with some of the smartest people. And I see you doing that. So I'm a big fan, Nick, of all that you're doing. If people want to learn more about you, what, you got your Book Thinkers?
Yeah. If you're an author, head over to bookthinkers.com, check out some of our services, set up a discovery call with us. If you're a reader, then go to our Instagram page, Book Thinkers. That's our largest and most vibrant community. And I'll tell you what, here's my offer for everybody. Oh, yeah, I love playing book matchmaker. So if you want to send me a DM, tell me a problem you're facing, or tell me about a skill that you want to develop, and I'll provide a custom book recommendation to you out of my personal library. And I love recommending these books and holding people accountable to reading them.
I follow you. I saw you this morning. I commented this morning. I shared this thing. I was like, my buddies, Dan.
Yeah.
So you're doing great, man. I really appreciate everything. I love the books. Boom, Stephen Pressfield. And you're cold plunging. You got to love that, man.
Yep. I did a little book review from the cold plunge, which was, yeah, here, check it out for a second.
I got to watch this, man. Yeah. I got to watch this. So did you really jump in?
Yeah, watch.
I love it. You got the hammer and everything. So good. Oh my gosh.
That was good. That was a cold one.
You're the only person on the planet who did the book review from the cold plunge. Awesome. Well, Nick, thank you so much for all that you're doing, my friend.
Thank you very much. And listen, all of the kind things that you said about me, you know, I hear such amazing things about you. I always enjoy speaking with you. This is probably like our fifth conversation in the last couple of months. So thank you for everything that you've done for me and for my book. And I can't wait to continue to promote this partnership.
Awesome. Boom. Good stuff. We'll see everybody. Check them out.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.